This is the journey of faith that we're on, and this one is called Renew Your Mind to a New Identity. Proverbs tells us that as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. So are they. As a person thinks in their heart, so are they. So if you think you're a victor, you're going to win the battle. Do you think for 1 second that Michael Phelps ever felt his fingernail was longer than everybody else's when they time him down to the thousandth of a second? He saw it. He felt it. As a man thinketh it in his heart, so was he. He knew it before he did it. We need to be the same way with our faith in God. We need to know that the things that we do are blessed. We need to know that God is for us and not against us. Hallelujah. So, do you believe that God has a given destiny for your life? Do you feel that He's got purposes attached to that destiny? Yes. A resounding yes. All right? So, as we look at this journey of faith that Abram and Sarai were on, we're going to talk about the promise today, and then we're going to talk about the change that happened. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, behold, the word of the Lord came to Abram and said, this one is Eliezer, because Sarah couldn't get pregnant, so he thought, well, maybe my best servant will be my heir. He said, this one, this is God talking to him, shall not be your heir, this Eliezer. But the one who comes from your own body shall be your heir. 24 years, God reminded Abram, it's going to come from your own body. So if you need reminding about something or a promise of God over and over and over, well, join the club. And if you tried to do something in your own way and it didn't work, well, join the club, because we're going to look at that too today. I think it's important. I think the timing is right. So, where was I? Verse 2, right? This one shall not be, verse 4, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Verse 5. Then he brought him outside and he said, look towards heaven, count the stars and see if you're able to number them. How many stars are there? 50 bazillion, right? And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. God was prophesying over Abraham that his descendants were going to be as many as the stars. And not only the ones that he could see and the ones he can't see. Right? Verse 6. And he believed God, and it was accounted for him to righteousness. So, God asked us to do something. What's our job? Just believe him. Just believe it. You got hopes and dreams and things in your heart? Just believe it. And if they tarry, just believe it. And if they tarry some more, just believe it. Prophesy over it. Don't quit believing, right? That's really what it's all about. All right, so the promise to Abram and Sarai was that God was going to do these things for him. Hebrews 6:12 tells us, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience will inherit the promises that God has given to you. Faith and patience. Hebrews 6:12. Everyone say that. Faith and patience. That's what it takes, is faith and patience. All right, now, we're going to see that Abram and Sarah got a little impatient, and they made a mistake. Well, join the club. I know you guys never made any mistakes, right? So let's look at it. The mistake, Genesis chapter 16, verse 2. So Sarai said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid, Hagar, and perhaps I shall have a children by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. You're going to heed somebody's voice Be careful whose voice it is. That was worth coming for. There's a lot of voices out there. A lot of voices coming at us. All right, so now let's look at verse 16. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. So now we know which side of Abraham and Sarai didn't work. Abram's side worked. He bore Ishmael to Abram. All right. Now, as we look at this mistake, we need to understand what to do when we make mistakes. If I give you a little nugget today, I hope it helps. Mistakes will make you bitter or better. You choose. We choose when we make a mistake to make us bitter or better. What can I learn from this? Okay, this is just common sense, right? Also, mistakes are inevitable. They're going to come. We're going to make mistakes. I just want to make a few less than I used to. Somebody should have laughed with me on that one. I just want to make you think. You want to make less mistakes as time goes on, right? So we want to learn from Edison. You know, we've heard that story a jillion times. It took him 99 times or how many ever times it was to make a light bulb. He made a lot of mistakes, but he didn't quit. He made a lot of mistakes. But he didn't quit. I love that. But I think the primary reason we make mistakes is we're impatient. Who through faith and patience inherit the promise? Who through faith and patience inherit the promises? Who through faith and patience inherit the promises? Who through faith and patience inherit the promises? Who through faith and patience? So how do you miss the promises? By impatience. Dang, that was a good word, Michael. And so how do we avoid it? By renewing our mind to God's promises. We need to keep our minds renewed. This is a key factor for us in this walk with God, right? So here we go. Let's look at the delay. The delay between Genesis 16:16 and 17:1 was 13 years. And so as we look at Genesis 17, we're going to read verses 1 through 6 here. You ready? Say, I'm ready. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am. Woo-hoo! Man, that ought to be in big letters jumping out at it. He is the I am. Not the I was or I'm going to be. I am. He's perpetual. He's always the I am. Always was, always will be. I am. I am Almighty God. That was El Shaddai. The God who is just enough. No. Thank you. I am the God who is more than enough. Walk before me and be blameless. Verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Now, this is God talking. This isn't the 6 o'clock news. This isn't the newspaper. This isn't anything on Facebook. This is God talking to Abram. I have made my covenant with you. We did that a few weeks back. And will multiply you exceedingly. Verse 3. Then Abram fell on his face. Build an altar. You hear from God, build an altar. If you can lay down, lay down. You want to stand up, you can stand up. Just build an altar. It only takes a second to do it. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying this, verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. I look at each one of you, and I will prophesy to you, you are blessed. Beyond comprehension, beyond what you've ever been before, you are blessed. Verse 5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. We're going to go into that in a little bit. I have made you a father of many nations. Verse 6. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations from you, and kings are going to come from you. Ooh, what a prophecy that was. Jesus. So renewing our mind to a new identity, you know, if we need to renew our mind, one of the best things we can do is build an altar. When you recognize that there's a mistake, or you recognize that you're off beat, or recognize that you're skipping a beat, or recognize, we need to recognize. The only way we can correct our mistakes is if we recognize it and don't stick our head in the sand and think it's not going to happen to me. So we want to build an altar, and that's what he did. He built an altar. He went on the ground and he built an altar. Now, the new identity, going from Abram to Abraham. In the outline, it says, God inserted the A-H, which is the Hebrew H-E-H of Jehovah, into his name. He put his name, his spirit, into him. What has God done for us? He has put his spirit into us. The same spirit of faith that's in Abraham is in every one of us. It's right there. Abram, exalted father. Abraham, the father of a multitude. Multitudes, if you may. Yeah. So he changed his name. The very nature, because names back then meant more than they do now. Sarai. Sarai means injured one. Well, what do you mean, injured one? Think about it. She was barren. What was barrenness looked at in the Old Testament? As a curse. You were barren, you were cursed. It's your fault. How'd you like to live with that? Yeah. And then she made a big mistake. Hey, honey, we need some babies. Go see Hagar. Yeah. And then Hagar came back to her and chewed her fanny out. Right? She mocked her. It says Hagar mocked Sarah for doing that. So that's why she was called the injured one. But yet God said, I'm going to change your name to Sarah. I'm going to put my name and my spirit inside you, and you will no longer be called the injured one, but you will be called a princess of power. That's what it means. You look it up. Ah, I love that. And I'll make an application to it for you and me in just a second here. But what I want to share is, when we think about princess with power, you might think, why princess? Well, I believe what my mentor shared with me when I got this teaching the first time is that in every little girl, there's a desire that God put inside of them to be a princess. I had a 5-year-old girl in my office this week. Ratty little shirt, ratty little jeans, and guess what else? The princess band. We have a little girl here in church who loves to come up here and swing and dance before the Lord like a princess. And oftentimes she's got her princess get up on, and I love that. I've been waiting a long time to mention this, so now I did. Now I got my opportunity to mention it. You come and you dress up all you want. Somebody died in 1997 that illustrates this. Her name was Princess Diana. I thought she was one of the most pretty women that was ever created on the planet. I don't know a lot about her. I don't know a lot about her background. I just know how she carried herself. I would consider she carried herself pretty dadgum classy compared to what we see today. The garbage that's going on today. I shouldn't go there, so I won't. But what happened was, no matter what you believe or think about her, was the outpouring after she died. The world was grieving because she died. Because inside of every little girl is a desire to be a princess. And that's why the whole world poured out their compassion because of that. I think that bears witness to understand. That's just amazing, isn't it? So, where do I encircle and bring this around? You'll have a new understanding now when you read these names in the scripture. Sarah, princess of power. Abraham, the father of a multitude. Because God changes our name. And so how does that apply to us? I had to come up with something. So I thought about, in the scriptures, I've got written that our lives should be defined by who we are in Christ and not our life experiences. If you let your experiences dictate who you're going to be, it's not going to work out very good. But if we let the truth of the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, of what God says we are, that we are more than overcomers, that we are victors, that we're the head, not the tail, we're above only, not beneath, if we believe those things, that come to pass and we can live a victorious life. And one thing that will, I don't know if I've shared this for a long time, but in the New Testament, we, especially in Paul's writing, are never once, as Christians, referred to as sinners saved by grace. Not once. Every time Paul addresses a church, what does he address the church as? The saints of God. 87 times. 60. Wait, one of them. I got two stats here. I got to make sure I don't miss that. 65 times.
There you go.
Yeah. 65 times he said to the saints at the church of Ephesus, to the saints in Colossae, to the saints in Corinth, to the saints everywhere, to the saints, to 65 times. He never said, to the sinner saved by grace. I'm no longer a sinner saved by grace. I'm saved, but I'm now a saint saved by saint. Sorry, I forgot my words messed up, but I'm passionate, really passionate about that. Couldn't tell you, could you? And then, besides that, another one, I have 90 times, it depends on your version, New King James or New Living Translation, it goes between 87 and 90, is if you be in Christ, you are this. The first and most important one, if we are in Christ, we're a new creation. Woohoo! Somebody ought to be excited about that. We're new. We've been made brand new. I'm not the old guy I used to be. And you don't want to know the old guy. Don't try to tell me about your old guy either while we're at it. I had a church elder come up to me and say, oh, Pastor Mike, you should have known me in my day. And I said, I don't give a rip about that old dead man. I just want to talk to the new man, right? I don't care about that. Where are you today? Yeah, come on. You don't know about the dead man. Hallelujah. So, Proverbs 24:16, the righteous person, what kind of person? The righteous might fall, might make some mistakes, might screw up. But what do? You pick yourself back up again. Rise again. Rise again. Yeah, rise again. And so Abram and Sarah made a really, really bad mistake. But they rose back up again. And now Abram is called the father. Many. He's our father. If you be Abraham's seed, this is Galatians 3:29. If you be Abraham's seed, you are heirs according to the promise of eternal life because of faith in Abraham. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Woo! I'm excited. And that's only step number 9. I still got 3 more steps in this baby to go. Father, I thank you for the work that was done, and the devils and the demons that want to tell us something different. You can go back to where you belong. And so, Father, we thank you for the anointing. Bless this time. Continue to bless each one here, Father. And we love you. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen. Amen. Amen.